All right. It is Pentecost today, and we'll talk about what that means, but I want to start here, actually. A number of years ago, I was working at a place, and they hired somebody, we'll call him Bob, and what quickly became apparent to everybody is there was a level Bob was performing at, and there was a level that Bob needed to be performing at, and there was a gap. And as this became obvious, management started putting a lot of time and effort and resources into helping Bob perform at the level that he was supposed to be performing at. But as time went by, that gap never closed. And if we're honest, that gap might have even gotten bigger as time went by. And so eventually some hard conversations were had, and Bob was no longer employed at that organization. But the reason I'm telling you that story is because as Bob went out the door, he did not handle it well. And he said a lot of angry, mean, cranky, inappropriate things to and about the boss, and about the boss's boss, and about management and everything else. It was just messy and unpleasant. And I tell you that because there has been a question that has been going through my head in the years since that had happened. Was Bob so mad because he felt he was treated unfairly and he felt that he was honestly being punished for things beyond his control? Or was he so mad because he knew he had failed and didn't live up to a reasonable standard? And I don't know the answer to that one. And I don't think I will ever know the answer to that one. But I tell you that story because what I want to do today is I want to focus in on this question of what does the Holy Spirit do? And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is work with us in those moments when we have fallen short to help us understand where we need to go and what we need to do. Today is Pentecost, the day that we celebrate either as the birth of the church or as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But let's talk about what the Holy Spirit does. But to do it there, let's go through the history. So if you want to put up that first slide, please. This story takes place 50 days after Easter. On that day that we call Good Friday, Jesus was crucified. 3 days later, the day we call Easter, Jesus is raised from the dead. And so 40 days from Easter to Ascension, Jesus spends this time preaching and teaching and doing miracles. And then he goes and ascends into heaven. Before he ascends into heaven, he tells his disciples, "Go back to Jerusalem and wait for power to come upon you from on high." So they do. 10 days later, it is the Feast of Pentecost. They are there in the upper room. They are praying. They are worshiping. And there is a sound like rushing wind. And it seems like a tongue of fire is on each of them. This is the Holy Spirit being poured out upon them. You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is there for specific people, specific times, specific places. So, for instance, Moses and Solomon and David and Saul, the Holy Spirit is poured out on them for leading the people of Israel. For people like Ezekiel, Elijah, Isaiah, the Holy Spirit is poured out on them so they can prophesy. Even the guy who makes the Ark of the Covenant, God gives him skill through the power of the Holy Spirit for the artwork. It is specific people. When John the Baptist shows up there in the New Testament, he is full of the Holy Spirit from birth so that he can make straight the ways for the Lord. And what happens is, in Joel, 600 years before Jesus, there is this prophecy that one day the Holy Spirit would be poured out for all people. Men, women, young, old, servants, and free, everybody. Not just specific people, but everybody. All flesh is the way the language gets used. So then what happens is the Holy Spirit gets poured out on everybody, and it is this reverse Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel all the way back in Genesis. Everybody is proud And so God separates them by speaking, making them speak different languages. Here, in their humble and worshiping, God brings them together. And so Peter and everyone else, as they speak, you've got people from all over the empire because they have traveled in for the feast. You've got Greeks, Romans, people from Libya, what's Syria, and everything else today, and they're all hearing in their own native languages. And everybody's confused and wondering what's happening. So if you go to that next slide, please. Peter gets up and speaks to them, and he says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words." And he explains about the Holy Spirit being poured out on them, and he explains about how this is a fulfillment of this Joel prophecy. But then what he does is he walks through the story of Jesus. And keep in mind, these are devout Jews. They have traveled all over from all over the empire to come to Jerusalem for this feast. And it's not like these days where you just take an Uber down to the airport and you can be anywhere in the country in 3 hours. You take weeks to get somewhere by foot, by a mule, by boat. And that's a commitment. So they are there because they believe and they want to go to the temple, and they are there and they know the law and the prophets. So Peter walks them through everything and says, "This is Jesus. Jesus has come. Jesus is the fulfillment. Jesus is the Messiah that you have been waiting for, the Messiah that you have been praying for centuries. And you killed him." Think about that. Think about if you're sitting there in that crowd hearing this and realizing what you've done, what you've been a part of. And this is this fascinating piece. If you go to that next slide, they respond, and I love this. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" I love that language. They were cut to the heart. How many times does this happen to us when we realize we did something wrong, when we realize something about ourselves and we are face to face with this and it's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I messed that up." Friends, that's a gift. Doesn't feel like it, but it's a gift. I'll tell you a story. This week, there's been something that's been getting to me, not important what it was for the purposes of this story, but it was getting to me, and I was getting a little grumpy about it. And believe it or not, I can be a little bit of a smart aleck when I get grumpy about stuff. I know that's a shock to everyone here. And so Wednesday morning, I was sitting there at the dining room table having my second cup of coffee halfway through it, and somebody says to me, and I won't say who, but you can all guess, they say to me, "You're being a smug troll." And I was like, I was right. And I wanted to quote Solzhenitsyn, because I always quote Solzhenitsyn when I'm right. But I took a minute, had another half a cup of coffee, and I'm like, "You're right. I am right on the facts, but I am being a smug troll. And I should not be a smug troll." And it's something for all of us, because the question we have is, how do we want to live? Do you want to live in that and not admit that you're wrong, not admit that you've done something that you shouldn't have done? Or do you want to have the gift to change who you are through the power of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is here to bring order out of chaos, to bring us into alignment with who God is and change our character. First page, first line of your Bible. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters." And what is the Spirit doing at that point? He is bringing order to this chaos of creation. The way we read Genesis, the way we read that creation account, is not how it was put down all those thousands of years ago. When God gave the people of Israel that account, what he's doing is he's talking about how God brings order out of chaos, out of the wilderness, out of the unsettledness, and creates this place for the people to live and be in harmony with God. We try and read it as this account of cosmology and everything else. It's like, no, let's go back to how it was read. And so when God says, I'm bringing order out of chaos, I'm separating the land from the water, I'm separating the day from the night, he's bringing this into the way it's supposed to be. And what the Holy Spirit does is he's doing the same thing in our hearts. Think about it. This even creeps into our language. When somebody is a liar and a cheat, what do we say? We say they are crooked. When John the Baptist shows up, he is there fulfilling these words out of Isaiah, make straight the way of the Lord. And what he is here to do is to straighten out our heart, to make us right, so that the path of the Lord is straight in our hearts. And this is a call to repentance, a call to change who we are, a call to be new creation in Christ. Go ahead and put up that Philippians passage, please. If you've been here the last few weeks, we've been talking about this great book where Paul writes to the church in Philippi. And he's writing to this church that's being persecuted. It's this place in what today is Macedonia. And Paul himself is in chains in Rome. And he writes this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I love that line there. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Keep in mind what I just said. Paul is writing to a church that's being persecuted while he himself is being in chains. And he's saying, focus on these things. Practice these things. Because the thing about it is there is always pain in this world. There is always frustration. And the thing is, how do we respond to it? How do we live in this? And a friend of mine back in California, he was just an absolute nut. His sense of humor made mine look tame, and I just loved him for it. It was awesome. And he was telling his faith story one night, did the same thing there that we do here, where we tell your faith stories on Wednesday nights during Lent. And he was telling the story about how he had gone through this divorce when he was in his 20s. And all the pain and frustration and hurt and humiliation and everything else that happens with those situations. And one day as he's going through this process, he's coming out of, I forget, the courthouse or the lawyer's office, what have you. And he walks out, and there somebody has dumped this giant load of manure for fertilizing. And it is literally this steaming pile of manure. And he's like, well, this is certainly a metaphor for my life right now, isn't it? But because he's in Virginia at the time, and it's hot, and it's steamy, there's all sorts of steam coming off of there. And there's a rainbow above it, just from everything coming off of it. And he's like, huh, I guess God can make beauty out of the worst things. And I tell you that story because our repentance and our brokenness through what God does, it creates that new life and that beauty for all of us. And that is what Paul is talking about. Think about this. You've got in this story Peter there standing up before these people saying, repent. And he's the guy who would run away and deny Jesus. You've got Paul, who is this guy who is literally killing Christians because they were Christians. And he repents. And then you've got 3,000 people that Paul is speaking to, and they repent and form the core of the church. So friends, I do want to say that this choice is always before us. And this choice, to go back to how I started this story, of how do you respond to this, is present there in the whole book of Acts. Because you got these 3,000 that repent when Peter speaks to them and they go get baptized. And then you got the rest of the city of Jerusalem, which persecutes the Christians. It's a choice in how you respond. And what do you do? When you get cut to the heart, do you respond and do you say, I have fallen and need God's grace and need to be restored through the power of the Holy Spirit? Or do you deny that you ever did anything wrong? Which way do you want to live? Which way do you want to spend your years? Now, friends, it is easy for me to stand up here and say you all should repent. And it is easy for you to nod and say, yes, we should repent. And then it's easy for all of us to have our cup of coffee tomorrow morning and to have completely forgot about this sermon. So here's my suggestion, my prayer for all of you. Find somebody in your life whose judgment and character you trust. Somebody who's thoughtful, knows the Bible, knows God's character. And say to them one of two things. Either say, hey, I struggle with this issue, I need your help, and I need some accountability in dealing with judgmentalism, crankiness, anger, frustration. Or maybe an addiction that you just need somebody to say, are you putting yourself in a position where you give into that? Somebody to hold you accountable, somebody to check in with you on a weekly basis. Or you can say to them, I'm not sure what's getting to me right now. I'm not sure what I need to repent of. Can you pray with me and help me to discern that? Because a lot of times we go through life and we don't even realize it until somebody comes up to us and says, you're being a smug troll. Okay? Maybe you need somebody in your life to remind you of that. Now, if you're sitting there thinking that, yes, I can tell people what they need to repent of, you need to repent of judgmentalism, and you should talk to somebody about that. But I want to encourage you to find that person in your life whose character and judgment you trust and ask them, what do I need to repent of? What is it that I have? What is it that is owning me? Because the choice you have is, how do you want to live? The choice that was before Bob, the choice that was before the city of Jerusalem. Where do you want to go? Do you want to own your failings so that you can be set free through the power of the Holy Spirit and brought into alignment with what God is doing? Or do you want to continue to deny it? Because the choice is clear. And the power of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into that place so that, like Paul, you can focus on these things. Focus on the love and the hope and to live in that new way through the power of the Spirit setting you free. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the outpouring of the Spirit 2,000 years ago. We pray that you would continue to pour your Spirit into us, continue to give us wisdom and grace to follow you. We pray that you would make it clear what we need to repent of, what sins hold us back, and put people in our lives to hold us accountable so that you would be glorified in everything that we do. Amen.